because of the internet, and we got Coffee with the Colonel now. We touch a lot of people and do a lot of things. So a lot of money comes in. We don't keep it and we don't pile it up.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on January 13th, 2020, and is titled, The Assembly. Grab your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 2, and let's join Steve in the message.
We spent $277,892 of it this year. And here's how we spent most of it. For people in need, locally, hurricanes, national disasters, we spent $48,492.77. When it came to helping other ministries, Life Outreach, Samaritan's Purse, Circle of Love, Meals on Wheels, right here in our town. I'm not going to say too much about it, but COVID-19 has been tough on all these entities that are trying to help. Samaritan's Purse is Franklin Graham and his bunch. They are on the spot, man. They got tents and people, and they go do. And it's been tough without assembling and things and gathering money. We're able to help wherever God tells us to help. Meals on Wheels. At least somewhere, give or take, of 75 people every week. Not only get a meal, but they get somebody walks up to their door. Sometimes that's more important than the groceries. Just to have somebody knock on your door one time a day, 5 days a week. Our Meals on Wheels gets no government benefit. Thanks to Michelle Obama and Fresh Green Beans. She's wonderful. I kind of like it because it challenges the community to take care of its own. I don't want to milk the government cow. I don't know about y'all, but I think the milk's sour. I'd rather get a new cow. So you guys have been very, very beneficial in making sure those people get something to eat. Help take care of the senior center. We help support wall builders. David Barton, the one man on the earth who's absolutely like-minded with myself, I'm not going to speak for y'all, finally came home this week, fighting the fight. We helped them. Created with a purpose, we really helped them. Teen Challenge. We still help Teen Challenge. We've got students and people down there that need help. Lighthouse Missions right over here in Clovis, right here in our community. We help them. Physicians Aiding Physicians. The Sheets family. Overseas. Right from our community, right from our area, and they go and they give them themselves. We've been helping them a long time. Yvonne's Hope, Aim for India. You've seen some of the videos we've done. They come and I get to meet with them guys about once every 2 years. He gets over here right now because of COVID. He hadn't been able to come back and forth. Putting kids in school, changing their entire community by teaching the Bible. Overland Missions, Bailey County Child Welfare. Robin's on the board there. How many kids were in foster homes this year at Christmas? 40. Right here in Bailey County. Takes a lot. And you people are very, very generous. So we just like to tell you that $146,000 that we spend helping those ministries, $146,000. That y'all gave to help all that. A couple more little things that you've been in on. Larry Widener, he's got some helpers around. He's been very intentional, little bugger, about giving Bibles to men and women in prison. He bought the name stamping thing over here to whatchamacallit when it went out of business at Clovis however many years ago. And he gets letters, stacks of them. The men and women who are incarcerated who hear about this guy out here in West Texas that'll get you a Bible. And he'll take that Bible and he'll stamp their name on the Bible and send it to them. Well, y'all been helping him with them Bibles. This year you bought 1,900 Bibles that were stamped and sent. Let me tell you how important the Bibles are. The Word of God changes people's lives. And when you get the Word of God in their hands and you get it in front of them, it changes their lives. It has the opportunity to change them forever. So that lady right there started another movement that went national. Y'all remember it when one day she stood up here and told you that she thought every school teacher should have the opportunity to own a Founder's Bible. The Founder's Bible. We love the Founder's Bible. David Barton and them put that together with the American history according to Christianity lined up with Scripture. It's an amazing book. That took off like crazy. Well, then they got to telling other people around the country what was going on, and pretty soon everybody's wanting to get the Founder's Bible and give them away and give them this and that. That's why we can't get any Founder's Bible till hopefully this week. The hardback edition's finally coming, maybe this week. And I told that gal the other day, I said, we want the first $5,000 worth. Because now my little bride believes not only every teacher and every administrator that wants a Founder's Bible should have one for free. We believe that every pastor should have a Founder's Bible, and we'll be glad to give you one as soon as they print some more. So this year, right at the end of the year, y'all bought just under $14,000 worth of Founders Bibles, and they had slashed the price completely in half. It's a lot of Bibles. You know how I know it's a lot of Bibles? I unloaded a lot of them. Box of Founders Bibles weighs more than a bale of hay. That's what y'all been doing. The other little bit that we spent, we had to keep the lights on, try to run the heater. Bless a few folks around here from time to time. Y'all blessed us. That's what you done. 140,000 here, 10,000 here, and 5,000 or 6,000 here. That's what you done. Y'all are generous because you're good. You're good because of God. Y'all give yourselves a praise offering. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Did I leave anything out, honey? I want to visit with y'all just a minute, and it won't take too long tonight. I want to get started on something that's pretty, well, it's all pretty important, but real important. We've been talking about something here, and I'm going to sit down. We're going to have a little kitchen table visit right quick. We've been talking about something that we've been instigating around here now for a while, for a few weeks, several weeks, and I've been going to New Mexico. That's why some of you are here tonight, and that's why some of you are tuned in. But county by county, we've been talking about your local influence. It's like talking about tonight, your community, a place to assemble, some place where you can glean information from a guy who's been paying attention. Plus, you can glean from each other. You can build relationships. We can know who's got what and who's where and who'll do what. All right here in the group. We can leave this building tonight and we can influence our local government to where God will once again, here's your options now. You can come here and learn how God will become the government of your kitchen table. That's absolutely necessary if you're going to maintain your kitchen table. That's why we do this from a kitchen table. How God will become the government of your community and God will become the government of your county. Right now, today, I don't feel like extending any further past those borders. They're not going to let me come talk in Austin. If they do, they'll only do it once. Nobody's invited me to Washington, D.C., and if I go into House chambers, it will be by invitation. It won't be because I knocked down the door. There's a way that you operate by wisdom and not emotion. See, one of the things that we're falling into in America today that we're going to have to guard against in a really high level of intensity is mobocracy. You see, the mobocracy that you've seen happen over the past 12 months in some of these larger cities and some of these metropolitan areas where it seems they've just been released, that wasn't a national issue. That was a local issue. You had a mayor that said it was okay. You had a county judge that said it was okay. You had city councils that said it was okay. You've had local law enforcement that fall under their jurisdiction that either did it because they're close to their pension or they simply believe the same way as those in leadership. We pick those. And we pick them from our own. We glean from our own people. So to have any of that go on in our neck of the woods is totally ridiculous. So I'm here to tell you we're going to start in Acts chapter 1 tonight, beginning a strategy for community involvement, but even a bigger strategy than that. I believe in the second awakening because we're following the pattern of the first awakening. Go study your history, 1740, how that led into 1776, and how that led into where you're sitting right now. It's a good read. It'll take more than a minute, but it's a good read. Revival. You see, people that don't believe like us don't know who you know and haven't heard what you've heard. Guess what? In this second awakening, this isn't going to happen by having tent revivals. This isn't going to happen by having revival meetings. This is going to happen by a community that comes together in assembly, gleans information, gets empowered by God, and walks out and begins to live at your kitchen table, putting things of God into practice to where the next thing you know, you're walking down the street doing it. You're interacting with your neighbors doing it. This is what we should have been doing the whole time. I don't want to raise a hand or a show of numbers. I just would like to know across the globe how many individual Christians have influenced in the last 12 months. True revival, human to human revival. Where they see God in us because of not because of where we assemble or what day we assemble, but how we leave the assembly. How we live outside under the governing rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the word actually begins to happen in us. Where you don't just come to town trying to listen to Moses. I'm not Moses, I'm Steve. I put my britches on one leg at a time. I have to make a living. I got customers who talk nice to me. I got customers who don't talk nice to me. I got people that I love and I got people that I like. And I got some still looking for a category. I'm extremely normal. I know what it is to have money left at the end of the month, and I sure know what it means to have a month left at the end of the money. I don't preach because I'm looking for a job. I do this because of them. I do this because I'm a father. Finally figured it out. That's why I do this. I'm a father. That's why it ticks me off when you want to steal my children's heritage. That's why it ticks me off when you want to steal my rights, steal what's been given for me for them later on. Ticks me off. That's the kind of guy you got up here preaching, a guy that gets ticked off. Like punching the nose ticked off. Like real laying on the hands. I'm telling you, I'm a work in progress. We had to turn TV plumb off. Postal was the next thing going to happen. Going postal. Oh, so my point is, we're in this together. That's why I'm so tickled that I sit at the kitchen table now, because I don't want to talk at you. I just want to visit with you. So in order to go forward, don't you think we got to go backwards? Reevaluate some things? Look at some things and say, okay, how have they done this in the past? How did God plan this? How's this work? So if we're going to have a change in our society, in our communities, we're going to do that not by electing a new mayor or county commissioners. We change our county by individuals around us changing. How many of y'all would think it would be a good thing if everybody around us had the mind of Christ? Well, I think they kind of do. They all go to church. Boy, that's working out well. Now we hadn't done that now for 10 months and nobody noticed. Yeah. It's time to regroup. That's why the Lord led me to Acts chapter 1. You see, that was the very beginning of the church. The church in Acts has experienced everything that we've experienced, and they've experienced everything we're going to experience. If we allow God to rule over our lives. If we allow the Spirit of God to truly be who He is in each one of our lives, this book will play out for all of us. And it's a continuing book. There's no amen at the end of the book of Acts. It's a continuation of this relationship between God, who is the Holy Spirit, and humans who dwell on the footstool of His kingdom, the earth. Revival. I was listening to Leonard, not Leonard's trying to give me a pep talk tonight before this all started. And I had a couple of people mention here the last week or so, I hadn't been quite so smiley as I usually am. And it's not because of defeat or losing faith. It's a little bit of a gut punch when you put a lot of trust in some folks and they don't hold true, you know. That's a little bit of a gut punch. A little bit of a gut punch when you get cheated out of something. We got cheated. 10 million people showed up to vote, just like most of us, all of us. I'm gonna say if you're on the other team, I've done preached you out of the building or you've repented and got fixed, but I don't expect to have too many Pelosi lovers sitting around here with me. So to find your joy. And then a lot of it is, you could ask Robin about this. I walk around and think a lot. Like, it's going all the time. And here lately it's been a lot. Because I think God's taking us back to a place where, Leonard, you're right. We should have the joy of the Lord because revival's at our hand. This next awakening. David Barton gave a message this week, and I don't even know what town he was in. I listened to it last night and today. Go listen to it. Just look up David Barton and run to the roar. And pretty much he does a lot better job than I do, but we're telling the same story. Don't run from this stuff. Don't have no backup in you. But get together as a community. Handle things right down here where we can handle them. be an influence right where you're at. Be with your neighbors. Let's be together. Let's do this. And let's assemble. Let's assemble. I just want to make a side note on the assembly. I full well understand people, pastors, who have stopped for a minute because they had a COVID outbreak or something for the benefit of the people. I understand that to a point. I won't elaborate on that. I handled it different, but that's just me and my faith. I'd still believe God's bigger than a stinking virus. But if the government tells you to quit preaching and you listen to them because you're afraid of the government, well, Romans 13 says submit to the government. I have. My government's the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence. And if you veer off that after you've sworn an oath, you swore an oath and you step off from it, you're now not worthy of your job. You should be fired. You should be run out of town because those standing documents come with boundaries and you don't get to step off from them. And my Constitution says that Congress will make no law prohibiting the assembly or the practice of your religion, your freedom of speech, freedom of press, or your freedom or your right to address your petition, your government. So once I found out that you used COVID-19 as a weapon and a tool, once I found out that your story started changing every 15 minutes, you see, don't try that on a guy that runs horse sales for a living, because I can smell what you're stepping in. I'll just go ahead and be open, thank you very much, and I'm going to preach. And open or not, I'm just having a real hard time believing that there's a man who's been called by God, visited by God, almost tormented by God. How you sit still and keep your mouth shut, I'll never believe it. I'll never believe it. Because I'm telling you, till you cut my tongue out, I don't care if we're sitting at this kitchen table. I don't care if we're down at the sale barn. I don't care if we're in my barn. I don't care if I'm riding around in my pickup. I'm preaching this gospel. I'm talking about Scripture. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the God who created all of us. I'm talking about the God that's been taking care of me for 25 years. I'm talking about the God who saved my family. I'm talking about that God. I ain't quit talking about that God. If you'll give me a place to talk about that God, I'll sit and talk about that God. And if you tell me to sit down and shut up, I'm going to put you in the notes, and I'm going to keep talking about that God. You do not get to tell me, and I do not understand people who accept the challenge of being told. That's why when they tell you 80% of the churches in America are still shut down, I told a friend of mine the other day, so what? They've been shut down for 2 decades. They just finally closed the doors. Oh, I'll catch me a little fan mail, but I'm telling you, if you don't get you a righteous assembly in your community, and you don't get somebody with some guts, and you don't get somebody with some anointing, listen, buddy, you can assume the new prayer position, put your head between your legs and kiss your hind end goodbye, because this deal's just about over. You want it back for them guys, you better get some mustard on your hot dog, and I'm talking about right now. This ain't the place that you play church tiddlywinks. This isn't a place we're going to have another potluck supper and pretend like it ain't happening. I'm fixing to read to you and start reading you for weeks to come a story of some people that had some big decisions to make. But God always gave them an instruction. And in Luke chapter 24, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to reiterate this here in just a second. But in Luke 24, because Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and he said that where is it? Verse 49. In verse 49 and 24, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem and wait. Go to Jerusalem and assemble. And God is going to meet you there. Wait, go and wait on the Lord. This is the instruction before the ascension of Jesus. And here they come now to Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Wait on what I've told you. Wait on what I've told you. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Assembly. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.